Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we are grateful. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin alongside everybody. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How about you?
It's a football Friday.
Yeah.
Football. Can't wait. We will have in the second hour, Felica, Fezzik, and Dr. Bob. Can't really beat that lineup, can you? Felica, Fezzik, and Dr. Bob. Felica and Dr. Bob on college football. Felica might have some pro picks as well. They are the bookends to Steve Fezzik in studio talking National Football League, not just this week, but also look-aheads with Stevie later on the show. This hour, we'll talk Premier League. Paul Carr, who had a little road bump this week. He was, I think he went 0-3 after a 3-0.
Oh, really?
Still up on the year, 5 units or so. Paul Carr will join us to give his Premier League picks from this weekend. Jason Weingarten as well. And are we sure in the National Football League, a question we ask ourselves each and every Friday, estamos seguros about things in the NFL?
That's right.
We'll do that. Kelly asks the questions. I try to answer. Are we sure? But we got to begin, Kelly, with last night's Thursday night football game. What a game it was. Lions 34, Packers 31. Packers get the money against the spread. It soars over. Let me just say, though, that this is one of those games where people go, oh, yeah, it soared over. It's easy over. Yeah, you hit the royal flush of everything. You converted both fourth and goals early, and then you didn't convert the fourth and whatever it was in your own territory, and Goff threw a pick in, you know, very deep inside their own territory. So it was kind of like an over, just cavalcade of over things happening. So 34-31, the Lions get it done. The Lions move to 12-1 on the season. Obviously huge for the division, the NFC North, obviously huge for number one seed implications as both the Vikings and the Eagles chase them for both of those things. I want to, without going through the whole game, I just want to focus on one thing. I have just one general question about this game. Let me just go through the fourth downs real quick and get your reactions to them. 10-7 Detroit. This is in the second quarter. 10-7 Detroit. Detroit has a fourth and goal at the 2 after Montgomery was stuffed for a 1-yard loss. They go for it. Goff to Gibbs, touchdown. 11 seconds left in the second quarter, 17-7.
Sure. Yeah. Great.
You like that one?
Yeah.
By the way,
I was so worried Gil was going to do this too. I'm like, in watching the game, all right, we've officially hit the point where they've gone for it so many times, I'm not going to be able to remember on the spot which is which.
I'm getting to a macro question here. By the way, at halftime, Jordan Love was 3 of 7 for 31 yards.
I was just going to pull up to your point about the over, right? Like the Packers had 298 yards of offense.
Yeah.
It's not a lot when you're seeing 65 points put on the board.
No, they ran 45 plays and had 31 points. But it really was about the four downs, right? So, okay, there's that one. By the way, the entire halftime show, they never mentioned once that Jordan Love was 3 of 7 for 31 yards. Like, they had to go back to Kirk and Al before it was even brought up.
I was going to say, I thought I heard someone mention it right as they were going into halftime, but yeah, I didn't watch the halftime show.
All right, that was the first fourth down. So they're up 17-7. Now it's Green Bay 21-17. Green Bay's up. Detroit 4th-and-1 at their own 49. Goff sneaks for a first. I don't think anybody had a problem with that one. Later,
The sneak effective for the Lions. That's write that one down for
me. The sneak effective is the name of his new album. Later, 4th-and-goal at the 3. Goff to Patrick, touchdown. They go for it, 4th-and-goal at the 3, down 4 points. That's with 5:02 left in the third.
Yeah,
to go
no
up
problem.
24-21.
That one, I think that one I was a little bit more down the middle. Like, it would have been okay with a field goal, but I would have gone for it there. No surprise Dan Campbell did.
Same score, 24-21 Detroit. Detroit 4th-and-1 at their own 31. With 1:29 left in the third quarter, they pitch the ball to Jahmyr Gibbs. Here, we're so arrogant and cocky, we're going to pitch this. We're gonna see if we can get back to the line of scrimmage. Nope, stuff for 1 yard loss. Short field for Green Bay. Of course, they score, and Green Bay goes back up 28-24.
So I know it sounds easy to do this results oriented wise.
No, we're not going to be results oriented by the question I'm just about to ask.
Well, that was the one where I was like, are we really going to do this here? Like, I don't know about this one, guys. And I would have been punting away there, and okay. Yes, he got stuffed.
My point is that everyone is being results oriented,
okay.
Right? That they won the game, and so everybody's going to wash away that play. But if again, what's the example? If it was Brandon Staley, they'd lose their minds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one more. 4th and inches. Now, this is on the final drive. This is the one that everybody's talking about. This is one I have no problem with, by the way. There was a hold on Ragnow. The score's 31-31. Hold on Ragnow that brings Detroit back to their 40-yard yeah. line. So they end up with a 4th and inches at the Green Bay 21 after Montgomery was stuffed by Zane Anderson on 3rd and 1.
Mm-hmm.
So 4th and inches at the Green Bay 21, tie game. Well within field goal range with 43 seconds left. Campbell decides to go for it because he wants to be able to run the clock down to 3 seconds to win the game on his racket, if you will. Goff falls while handing the ball off. Montgomery still gets it. Bates kicks the field goal. Detroit wins the game 34-31. So the question should be this to me, because again, if you were on Detroit side or Green Bay side, it could have gone either way in terms of the spread. Detroit wins, Green Bay loses. I don't think there was anything that shocking about the result. But it does beg the question, and here it is. Are you worried, if you're a Detroit Lions fan, or if you have Detroit bets, as I do, by the way, I have Detroit matchup bets in the Super Bowl with both Kansas City and Baltimore. Are you worried that Dan Campbell is so hell-bent on going for 4th downs? And I don't say that because of the last one. I say that because of the one in his own territory.
Yeah.
That's what allows me to ask this question, yep. Right? Are you worried that he's so hell-bent on doing this that he actually doesn't know what he's doing and that it is all by this mythical feel and that it is going to inevitably get them in the postseason? And let me just add to that, oh, by the way, it already has last year, right? Because we talked about the royal flush of overs in this game yesterday. Remember the NFC Championship. Remember the NFC Championship. There was about 4 different 4th down situations. What's the opposite of a royal flush? They went 0-for-4 in decision-making in the NFC Championship, yeah. And they squandered a 3-score lead, if you recall, and San Francisco ends up going to the Super Bowl. So I think it's a valid question, and I'm not asking it rhetorically.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that this will ultimately torpedo the Lions?
I mean, look, I think it's of course a valid question, because we almost saw just even last night, right? You almost saw a play out within that game last night. I think that there is always going to be, it's always going to be opponent dependent. It's always going to be dependent on what your current team makeup is, right? I think they were in a situation last night where they knew with the defensive injuries, them keeping their foot on the gas pedal was in their benefit. And I think in most situations with the Detroit Lions, as long as it's not, this is the problem. As long as it's not an absurd situations like it was for them to go to forward in their own territory.
Right.
But in most situations, when you're actually thinking about going for it on 4th down, they have the personnel to make it work. I most of the time do not have a problem with it.
Real quick, NFC.
Is that a cop out answer? Like, I don't even know.
No, that's a fine answer. I'll get to a bigger point for me though. Real quick, the NFC Championship last year, because people won't remember, mm-hmm. there were 4 instances of this. They were up 14-7. They had it 4th and 6 at the San Francisco 46, and he decided to punt. And every Niners bettor was thrilled at that moment. Later in the game, it was 4th and goal at the Niners 3. They were up 21-7, and they kicked a field goal to go up 24-7. All right, remember, they ended up losing this lead.
Yep.
So in that case, first half, he was conservative. Then 24-10 Detroit in the NFC Championship. It was 4th and 2. This is in the second half now, in the third quarter. It's 4th and 2 at the Niners 28. Goff incomplete intended for Reynolds. All right. That allowed the Niners to catch up in the game. Right. And then 27-24 Niners, 9:52 left. Then the Detroit gets the ball left. So gets the ball back. There's plenty of time in the game. They end up with a 4th and 3 at the San Francisco 30, down a field goal with 7:38 to go in the game. And then he decided to go for it. And here are my notes from the NFC Championship last year, because I was on the Niners. He goes, I said, Goff under pressure, incomplete, intended for St. Brown. Dan Campbell, you beautiful bastard. So I just want to say this. I say this as a guy who has Lions bets. This worries me.
Mm-hmm.
It worries me because the Lions, talent-wise, are a better team than everyone else.
Yep.
Okay? If you were not better talent-wise than everyone else, then this kind of aggressive approach at all times, which he displayed yesterday, then I get it. But if you're the best team, what you are doing is artificially placing yourself in high leverage situations a little too many times for my liking, because you are opening the door for a lesser opponent to have a fighter's chance when they otherwise would not have.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Completely makes sense. Completely understand it. I think this is where it gets tough, because I'll go back to what I said about this game. It's, I think you also have an advantage, though, if you're knowing... If you know and think, my offensive line is so dominant, my short game is so dominant.
Kelly, I get it.
Give me another down, not many teams are going to be able to slow me
Kelly,
down.
Kelly, I get it, but you're not going to bat 1,000 doing that.
I know.
Panay, sul, shmanay, shmul. You're not going to go 5 for 5. You're not, right?
And they did.
And so I'm just saying, as a team that is better than everybody else, he's a little too much on this stuff. He's a little too extra, as the kids say. And I'm worried about it as a guy who has Lions bets.
Yeah.
Just
no,
saying.
No, I think it's a really fascinating conversation, because what you just said is absolutely correct. Could you make the mistake of allowing a team that shouldn't be in the game to get in the game? Of course they could.
Because they've done it before.
Yep.
They've done it before. Last night everything worked out, right? So people are going to minimize, because of results... People are results oriented. People are going to minimize the fact that they did go for it, fourth and short at their own 31. And at that point, I think we were all like, "What are you doing, man?"
Yeah,
that one was.
And Green Bay took the lead right after that. Now, I'm just saying, I think that's the macro question from last night.
Want to hear Dan Campbell's thoughts on the other side?
We will. Let's do that. And are we sure about other questions in the NFL? That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. So many ways to take us in. We just appreciate that you choose one of them. It's Gil Alexander. It is K. Michael Bidlin, producer number 9. Right here to my left.
Yeah,
to
your right. I just saluted.
This is, by the way, you being K. Michael Bidlin completely changes your brand.
I know, right?
Just K. Michael Bidlin.
We had a lengthy discussion about this at one point. I can't remember if it was Primetime Action or a numbers game.
That's right. Probably Primetime Action.
Sounds like a great mystery novelist. That's how I should go. What's the names? What are they called? Like pen names or whatever?
Oh, yeah. Little pen name. Like Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain, pen name.
Yeah, I'm blinking on the actual term.
Michael Bidlin will be your
K.
pen
Michael
name.
K. Michael Bidlin, yeah.
Okay. We get tweets at Beating the Book. By the way, it's Football Friday. We got Felica, Fezzik, and Dr. Bob here momentarily. Jeff Staples, Cigar City Jeff. I really like the over 170.5 rushing yards for Gentry tonight. National game exposure and last chance for Heisman push. He'll get a ton of carries.
By the way, real quick on that, I don't know if I'd, like, I think I'd go alts one way or the other.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going over, I'm laddering that up.
UNLV was his worst performance.
Right, that was his worst performance. So there might be some value on the alt-unders, too, if you think UNLV could show up and do that.
Edward Perez at Boomer Rizzle. He said, yes, absolutely think this could happen with Campbell. And if it does, he will repeat, talking about him, you know, making a bad decision in the playoffs that will cost the Lions. He says, and if it does, he will repeat over and over how he had total 100% confidence in his players, in essence, putting it on them in a way where the players can't be upset if things go wrong.
I am glad you brought up last year, because that game, you can't forget that when it comes to the resume of Dan Campbell and what he's done, because it was ugly.
Yes. Jack Hannon at Steeler Jack 50. During the course of the playoffs, Campbell will cost the Lions a game. Inevitable. A month ago, I would have said the same thing about Sirianni, but someone talked some sense into him. Not happening with Campbell. Stringfellow Hawk says, in concert, a very special evening with saxophonist K. Michael Bidlin. D-Gen Southern Gent. Gil, I loved the food that built America. I've never been more proud to be an American than I was learning about early U.S. culinary entrepreneurs. Binge watch the show like crazy. Also check out Booze, Sex, and Bets That Built America. Well, I'm not aware of that one. That's interesting.
You got like two words into that. I was like, well, I'm far more interested in that one.
The food that built America. I just want to say this. Where's before this we get on? To Felica. It's History Channel, I believe.
Okay.
We grew up.
I'm going to write this one down.
We all grew up. You and me both, Kelly.
Yep.
We all grew up at a time in American history where we just took for granted stuff was on the shelves. Mm-hmm. Cereals galore, candies galore, pizzas, you know, pizza options, you name the food, frozen foods. Well, guess what? If we went back like a generation or two before us, none of that stuff existed. And so this is the fascinating story. It is so well done of how all of that came to be.
You know what I just figured out? K. Michael Bidlin's first book is what it's going to be about. Is when I was living in Russia,
yes,
and free Russia started to get all of the American foods, oh, and it was crazy.
K. Michael Bidlin.
Like when McDonald's first opened in Russia? Oh, my gosh.
New York Times, number one best-selling list.
Watch out.
Bestseller, here it comes.
Hit the mic.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Felica will have a bestseller once. Soon in the future, I'm sure. He is the Bear from Fox Sports. He's also got the Bear Bets podcast, which he does with our buddy Will Hill, Sammy P, Jeff Schwartz, a cast of characters. He joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line from Boise, Idaho. How you doing, Chris?
I'm well. Nice little gray morning here in Boise. You know what? Another show, and it's not like the food that made America. It's more of a sports-related deal. But have you guys started checking out that Game 7 series on Amazon Prime?
No.
It's like stories and games. Like I've watched a couple of them. They had one on Game 7 of the 2003 World Series between the Yankees and the Red Sox. It's really good. And then I watched another one on Game 7 of the Oilers Flyers.
Oh, wow.
Final. Like,
wow.
It's really, really, I would suggest checking it. I think like Mark Messier and David Ross, I think you're kind of like co-executive producers on it. And it's really entertaining. So if you got some time to kill once college football season ends here or whatever else.
I didn't even know that existed. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't either. We were flipping through the channel the other day for him and to see if Hard Knocks has started yet. And it had not. And then like, hey, if you like this, we suggest this. And it was Game 7. So like, yeah, let's watch this and see what's going on. And yeah, really entertaining.
By the way, nobody needs to tweet in. Chris knows that the Yankees Red Sox was the 2003 AL championship. He misspoke. Please don't.
Yes. I'm aware. Yes. Sorry.
All right. Championship, college championship fever today and tomorrow, 9 games. You have bets in how many of them?
I have bets that I like in 4 of them.
Okay.
I like Penn State's team total under in the game. I don't think they're going to have a ton of success scoring. However, I will say this about this game, and I talk about this, and maybe I read too much into it, and maybe I'm full of you-know-what, but this is one of those games where I haven't heard one person pick Penn State yet. And I think Matt Humans, I think, was someone who mentioned it. I think some other people, they mentioned like their power ratings have Oregon like 5, 5.5. And this line hasn't moved. It's at 3.5 solid. Like that would worry me. And that would make me feel that the odds makers are very comfortable with their position here and taking Oregon money, and that they kind of have a feeling that Penn State might be the right side in this game. So, but I do think it'll be a lower scoring game in Indianapolis tomorrow night. I do like Georgia minus getting the 2.5 rather against Texas. This could just be a situation where it's not a great matchup for Texas. And look, I know that first game was weird. You had the 7 turnovers. You had the bizarre incident where the officials kind of reversed the pass interference call and gave Texas an interception. And Georgia's special teams dominated, and you saw Arch come in. But also in that game, you got to remember too, Georgia played without 2 of their offensive line starters. So, like, their offensive line is going to be better now. They're going to get Trevor Etienne back in some capacity tomorrow. He's not 100%. He's not going to play the entire game, but I would expect to see him out there. Texas has got issues now on the right side of the offensive line with Banks and his Goolsby play. I think Georgia just has kind of the recipe to beat a Texas offense that frankly has been a little underwhelming this year. So I took Georgia plus 2.5. I took Clemson plus the 2.5 against SMU. Again, this is are the odds makers that off in their number to open Clemson as a 3-point favorite in this game and have it swing all the way across to the other side now? Now, if SMU is a 2.5-point favorite, 3-point favorite, now, I don't think they're that off in their power ratings. And I just think Clemson's, I don't think Clemson is a great team at all. They easily could have lost to Pitt, fell behind Virginia Tech, blown out on their home field against Louisville. But I think the amount of pressure now on SMU, kind of with the committee basically telling them, you better win or else you're going to be out. I think that's a lot. I think if you look at SMU's schedule, they played 5 of their 8 conference games were against ECC teams that did not have a winning record in conference play. So they kind of got a schedule advantage. I do like Klubnik. I think he's going to give SMU's defense some problems. I know the SMU offense has been great since Jennings came into play, but I think this is one of those games where we're going to be looking up at Dabo at the end of the game, and you know, the whole little old Clemson, everyone counted this out, and here we are again, winning the ACC. So I do think Clemson is the right side here, and I like Iowa State against Arizona State. I think the Arizona State's injuries at wide receiver is a big deal. I know Iowa State has struggled to stop the run, but if they don't have to devote as much resources in the John Hickok's defense to slow down a passing game and they can kind of focus on Scadabo, I think obviously that makes their task that much easier. I think Iowa State has kind of been a little underappreciated this year. They got 2 great wide receivers, and I like the Clones here. You see that ticking down to 1.5 now. I'd still take it. I mean, I took them plus 2, but 1.5 is still fine.
Let's do a little rapid fire here. I think you already answered this, and that was the first one was going to be if SMU does lose to Clemson, Clemson gets in as the ACC champion. You do believe Alabama will be in at the expense of SMU.
Yeah. I think that Ward Manuel, they basically spelled it out the other night and said it without really saying it. And you know what's funny too? I was kind of anti Ole Miss all along. I'm like, oh, you can't lose those 3 games against unranked teams. But now I'm just kind of doing all these sorts that I do at the end of the year. Like I'm wondering, like, and I hate like the simple answer being like, if you were an opposing coach, which of these 3 teams would you least want to play? I think the answer would be Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
But like I would probably have them. I mean, they crushed South Carolina with Sellers. Their loss at Florida is nowhere near as bad as Alabama's loss at Oklahoma. I don't know. I think the committee got it wrong with the ordering of those 3.
I said earlier in the week, I said a couple things. 1, Ole Miss has the most to be angry about, in my opinion. And 2, I gave you your props on the whole suggestion of here's how the committee could have gotten out of this whole controversy about, hey, a championship game is not supposed to hurt you if you lose.
Right.
Just rank Alabama ahead of SMU going
Correct.
Into this week.
Exactly.
Right?
Let them know where they stand. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. The second one is, we don't know what the matchups are going to be quite yet. We have some sense, but we don't really know. What is your sense of right now, if I say Chris Velico, who's the best team in college football? Who's probably the team to beat? You would say? So hard, right? Like there
is. It is hard. I'm probably going to get laughed at for saying this, but I think it still could be Ohio State. I think Ohio, with the defense that they have and the Michigan bugaboo pressure to win that game is off of them, you might be in a situation now where they just let it rip and you're seeing Abuka and Jeremiah Smith get balls and you're going to get a home game. You're going to get either warm weather or an indoor quarterfinal, semifinal. Like Ohio State might be really overlooked right now and undervalued to win a title.
Real quick, I need a 5-second answer. Genty, how many yards does he have to get tonight to win the Heisman, or is there no amount of yards, your hunch?
No amount of yards. It's over. Travis Hunter is your Heisman winner.
Well, I worry about that as well. Chris Velica, enjoy Boise, man. Chris Velica, everybody. The Bear from Fox Sports. Coming back with Steve Fezzik in studio.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. There's only one number one draft pick. There's only one champion at the end of the season. And there's only one nicotine pouch brand in America that outsells the rest, and that is Zyn. Zyn is a smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free nicotine pouch that can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. Find your Zyn at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Back at Circa, Gil Alexander. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Kelly Bidlin also in the house behind the glass. Steve Fezzik standing by. First, your tweets, though. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Roger Jones at Bracco Wins. Guys, I think Motor City Dan Campbell's decisions are easy to follow when you look through the prism of Applebee's continuous wings. When the server asks, you don't punt, you say more. Todd Wishnev all over that on the Megapod. Uncle Bush, do you think, to Jason's point, there may be a reverse bias on Travis Hunter with some national voter hate on Coach Prime causing to vote against Hunter? I'm sure there will be some how can I put this? I would hope people would not use their vote as their own, you know, through their own personal biases to that extent. But I'm sure there will be a group, Uncle Bush, that will be voting because of their dislike of Coach Prime. Johnny Ringo, pen name, pseudonym. Yes, both are okay, by the way. Pseudonym, obviously, is a word, but pen name is what they refer to Mark Twain, also your real name, Samuel Clemens, talking about Kelly and K. Michael Bidlin. The RGB, me, R. Gary Beard, got you all started on the first initial conversation prior to the Super Bowl. Maybe it was you, RGB. Mr. Bomb Apple, was Dr. Bob being a line bully on the pod? I could feel Todd wanting to push back and was waiting for a showdown. For once, Toddy seemed intimidated. Well, because Bob's been on before, and we've accused Toddy of being rude to Dr. Bob, so maybe he was tamed by that a little bit. Accused from the background.
Factual.
Anthony Tritolo, I watched the Yacht Rock documentary last night. Thanks for the recommendation. So good, right? Joe C., the best is still Skill Alexander and Kelly Bin Laden, LOL. Jason H. 11, the History Channel has a bunch of great Built America series. The Titans Who Built America is fantastic, as is The Food That Built America. The spinoffs are all excellent as well. Bobby Knuckles has asked Chat GPT to write a synopsis for Kelly's first horror novel under the pen name K. Michael Bidlin, in case the game show host career doesn't pick up. And he actually provides it. Boy, this stuff is amazing. This AI. Eric Cheshire. This is a great point. Eric Cheshire. Here's an angle. If you're on Clemson money line, FanDuel has SMU 3-1 to miss the playoff, better than Clemson plus 108. It's great advice. If you believe that those things are correlated, then absolutely go to the miss the playoff market. If you believe that it's a this cause and effect kind of thing for that. Not only do we get tweets, we also have texts that go on throughout the show. We're on a group text, me, Felica, Will Hill, Steve Fezzik, and Todd Wishnev. Here's just a brief exchange, one back and forth. Fezzik listening to the Megapod. Todd interrupts too much. Todd, I agree. Let's get Stevie and Will to be the regulars. Kind of a back and forth between each other. And then this is Steve Fezzik, who says, let me just start, Stevie, with this. By the way, Steve Fezzik, ladies and gentlemen, in studio, only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest. Steve says, I hate Starbucks. Am I allowed to explain that? At Jackpots, and their selection of food is so much better and cheaper prices. Hello, sir.
There's a new head guy at Starbucks, and he's like doing all this stuff, like he's going to analyze his company.
CEO, you're talking.
Yeah. Yeah. How about this? How about have one really good food item instead of nothing but crap that's $8 bad old bagels? Just one. Have like one of these, like they have these little Cinnabons at Jackpot. Yeah. Oh, glorious.
Kelly had the proper comeback to this. He said, why does Steve insist on getting food at Starbucks?
It's free. I get a $10 food comp at Caesars, and I get four free drinks, and I get a $10 food comp. And I'm a wizard at this, and I can't get anything I like because their food is terrible. So if you're listening, Starbucks, get one like freshly made breakfast sandwich. Like the Dunkin' Donuts has the meal deal. They have a great breakfast sandwich, way better than Starbucks.
All right. Here's, again, Steve Fezzik's tweets providing us with these segments.
Oh, dear.
Not his tweets. Pardon me, his text. We're not doing the tweets, for God's sakes.
No.
Let's discuss why the Dan Campbell late game decision to go. As everything with Steve's text, he voices them, so none of it makes any sense. But you want to talk about Dan Campbell.
Yeah, so the very last decision, I'm going to make the case, it's a total slam dunk. Excellent points that people are saying Detroit's a dead nut over team, so they going for it more, even if they're favored, makes a lot of sense for this team as opposed to a defensive team. But boom, we're in the moment there. Let's say we kick the field goal. let's assume we're going to make it all the time, just to simplify all the analysis. I would say, okay, Detroit's up 3, Green Bay gets the ball, they probably win. It feels like about 70%. Would you, does that seem like a reasonable number at that point in time?
Sure.
Make Detroit like minus 250, Green Bay plus 200. Okay, so let's use the 70%. Now let's go for it, okay? How often are we going to make it if we go for it? If we get it, we win. I would say we'll get it about 2/3 of the time. Okay, so right off the bat, we're going to win, play 100 times, we're going to win 67. But there's going to be 33 times that we don't get it. But we don't lose when we don't get it. It just, the game continues and Green Bay does become the favorite to win. I would say of those 33 games, maybe Green Bay goes 20-13. I'm throwing numbers out of my you-know-what. But the point is, just input your own numbers. It doesn't matter. If you use any reasonable assumptions, so of those 100 games, when they fail on the field goal, Detroit's still going to win 13. So 67 plus 13, that's 80%. Detroit's going to win 80% if they go for it. They're only going to win like 70% if they kick the field goal. It's not even close. It's so far apart, you have to go for it.
I agree with you 100% on the last one. Agree with you 100%. Is there a big groundswell of people who thought what he did was wrong? I don't know.
Oh, there was... Well, in the moment, the announcers always are sissies. So they're all like, oh, I can't believe they're not kicking the field goal.
Sissies. But do you agree with my overall sentiment, which is that's fine on that particular one? But earlier he went for it 4th and short in his own territory. And my big fear as someone who has Lions tickets, right, matchups in the Super Bowl, is that, and it did last year in the NFC Championship, is that Dan Campbell doesn't really do this in any way other at this point than this is my brand. I got to go for it.
He's Chris Moneymaker. He's hyper aggressive. I'm all in. Yes. And he doesn't use analytics. He's just aggressive.
And because they are more often than not going to actually be the quote unquote better team, right? Who's going to be a pre-flop favorite. Let's just judge it by that. That in some weird way, he is more likely to open the door for a lesser opponent doing it that way.
The Falcons could beat them. Not that they're making the playoffs, but with that sort of introduction of variance. And what was fascinating about the San Francisco loss is going in, they were a big underdog, the Lions. So they should have been hyper aggressive and go for it, go for it, go for it. But now we get to late in the third quarter and we've flipped the switch.
Yes.
Now it's the Lions that are the 9-point favorite.
Right.
And now you don't want variance. Kick
that's
the field goal.
That's my point.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yes, no, that's how, it's exactly how I see it. And again, I say this, Lions fans are like, oh, no, I'm doing it from a perspective of I got tickets on your team. That's what worries me about him. And the Green Goblin meme is a great one because it's like, you're not going to go for this, Dan Campbell? What kind of weakling are you kind of thing?
So by the way, shout out to my South Point runner number 5 that did, make an appearance on your show.
That's right. How many of those do you think you have? Because he was like 4-7, 3-4, 2. I mean, it was a... Is he standing in line?
Probably be easier just to let me bet, but not above my pay grade.
Here's another one, and we're going to get to Steve's look-ahead plays and what he has for this weekend. But you make a point. Seattle, Arizona, you say on the total here, no one should have gotten this. What was your phraseology here on this?
Oh, no, the game last night.
The game last night.
Last night. So I talk about asymmetric risk, and what does that mean, fancy word? Don't lay -3.5 early in the betting cycle. Don't play +2.5 because I can tell you, Gilly, there have been +2.5s. I'm like, there's no way. As sure as the sun comes up tomorrow, there's no way I could possibly get the Pittsburgh Steelers +3 hosting the Jets. And then what happens? Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh's +2.5 and it goes to +3. All the time, just the vagaries of line moves and the like. So where I'm going here is that the only time I would ever lay -3.5 is 1 second before the game kicks off. I would always wait. So with the Lions, if you waited, you got the push, came down to the 3 right at post. So you should not have lost with the Lions. But if you bet Green Bay, you had plenty of time to lock in +3.5, especially here in Vegas, even at -110. And so you should have won if you bet Green Bay and should have pushed if you bet the Lions on the game last night.
Does that kind of stuff, what would generalize that category? The ability to analyze the market and line movement of the market, is that your biggest pet peeve, would you say, about the general voter that they don't understand?
Oh, I've got dozens of pet
peeves. I know you. I'm talking about not to Twitter Fez, I know, has 35 things.
Voldemort.
I'm talking about real life Fezzing. Is that the thing that bothers you the most?
Yes.
It's up there.
It's up there. And just when we debate things, that people think that's Fez's opinion. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not my opinion. You take 100 geeks from the University of Chicago and you ask them this question, they're professional sports bettors, and all 100 are going to, you know, side with, well, this is the math. Of course, Campbell should go for it in this situation.
Yeah. Okay. How many look aheads do you have?
I have 5.
How many from this week do you have?
I have 3.
Okay. 3 from this week, 3 week 14 bets this weekend in the National Football League, and 5 look aheads.
Lot of action.
Week 15.
A lot of action.
In the National Football League. The man is an action junkie. That's what we think about you, Steve. We're like, what an action junkie that guy is. Steve Fezzik at Fezzik Sports on Twitter. We never say your Twitter handle. At Fezzik Sports on
that's
Twitter.
The evil Fezzik.
All of those plays right on the other side. That is the evil Fezzik. Tread lightly with that guy. Coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.